Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, the host of Book Talk Radio. And today, we will have a third interview with Michelle Fakanis. Michelle's humble, and she likes to not toot her horn, but I'm going to put it out there and tell you who he is and who it is and who it's all about, because in case you missed the last two interviews, Michelle is a registered nurse, a certified personal coach, a speaker and trainer. She's also a leading authority on life skills and parenting, and an award-winning author. In 1982, she received her AS degree in business data, processing computer programming. In 1993, she received her associate's in science degree in nursing from St. Petersburg Junior College, graduating with honors, and in 1999, Michelle received her Bachelor of Science degree in nursing from Florida International University, graduating with honors as well. Michelle received her John Maxwell certification in coaching, speaking, and in training in 2015. And Michelle is also the owner of Take Action with Michelle Incorporated and is the owner of Open Page Publishing, LLC. Her first book, Useful Information for Everyday Living, was published in October of 2010 and was later changed to 411 on Life Skills and released in June of 2011. Her other books include The 411 on Step-Parenting, released October 2011, The 411 on Surviving Teenhood, released October 2012, Parenting with an Edge, June 2013, and Teen Success, It's All About You, Your Choices, Your Life, released in June of 2013. Michelle had also written two children's books, Aaron's Special Family and Aaron Bug. And so without further ado, we're going to have Michelle back on the air the third time, and today we'll be talking about an amazing book called Building Leadership Through Self-Insight, Taking Self-Actions That Matter, by Michelle Fakanis. Michelle, are you there?
Hello.
Are you there? Hello, Michelle. How's
it
going?
I'm here. It's going well.
How's things
in
Florida?
Oh,
doing well,
it's been
doing
raining
well. How's
a
things
lot.
In Florida?
rainy.
Yeah, we got blue skies and sunshine, and so there we have it on two different perspectives of the country. And so, Michelle, let's get into your book, Building Leadership Through Self-Insight, Taking Self-Actions That Matter. What inspired you to write this book as well as your other books?
So today, a lot of people are trying to better themselves, and the self-help movement is in full force. So I really wanted to help others in this movement to know that, you know, with a little self-confidence and self-esteem and learning how to handle stress and make goals and time management, you know, all those little things matter. And as you learn those, you can do anything with leadership skills. So I really want to help people to build up their leadership skills to make a better life for themselves.
I understand, and that's a good and beneficial equation. And so, you know, I've got table of contents, self-esteem, confidence, relationship building, stress management, goal setting, time management, problem solving, affirmations and visualizations, mindfulness, and the all-important conclusion. And so, Michelle, let's just get into this book, and let's break it down chapter for chapter, if you will, and tell us a bit about this and what people can do to be successful, you know, snatch that goal, continue the goal, and move forward in life.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when we talk about self-esteem, there's different types of self-esteem. There's a healthy self-esteem, and that's where you have a lot of confidence to be honest with yourself and to love yourself no matter what. You know, a healthy self-esteem will encourage you to live your life and make those great choices. And then there are those with a low self-esteem. It can go two ways. On one hand, it'll leave you with no confidence and fears, and it could just lead to a real poor quality of life. And then we have those with the overinflated self-esteem. You know, to an extent, it's very unhealthy because it'll trick you into thinking that you're better than everyone else and basically that you can do anything. So you got to be really careful with that overinflation of your self-esteem. So, you know, there are some very important dangers to be aware of when you have an unbalanced self-esteem, because it can definitely lower your quality of life. You know, we don't want people to miss out on the best things in life. We don't want people to be too afraid to, you know, they're going to make a mistake. A lot of people will make a mistake one time and move on, because, or they'll just stop and scurry away because they're just too afraid to face that mistake that they've made. You know, so you want to make sure that people understand that the first step in building their leadership skills is self-esteem. You have to have confidence in your own self-worth and a sense of self-respect. You have to believe in you in order for others to believe in you. And the way I wrote this book was I gave information in the first part of the chapter, and then I have what I call a self-discovery challenge at the end of each chapter. And it's kind of a way of helping people to think through, you know, for example, with the self-esteem, I say to list at least five things that you're afraid to do. Now, not things that you're afraid of, like spiders or public speaking, but things that you're afraid to ask, you know, someone about or what you should do. And when you list those five things that you're afraid to do, the next question would be, of those five things, what is the worst thing that could happen if you attempt them? You know, what's the worst somebody could ever tell you? The worst word is no. Okay, somebody tells you no, then what? You move on to the next person and ask them a different question. You know, so just because something scares you, you can't let it lower your self-esteem.
I understand. And people get it somehow, and some people don't. Have you ever experienced,
right,
Michelle, in your professional career, of someone just blaming someone else because of their lack of self-esteem and or their confidence and or their willingness to do anything in life?
Absolutely, because it's so much easier to blame someone else than it is to look in the mirror and face your own failures. You know, a lot of times, like I said before, you know, somebody will attempt something one time, and just because it didn't work, they don't want to try it again. You know, when you think about a toddler starting to walk for the first time, you know, they fall a lot. And if a toddler tried to walk and he fell and he just kind of sat there and said, well, I can't do it, I guess I'm not going to try anymore, none of us would be walking. You know, but they don't. They get up, and we can learn a lot from children because they don't give up the first time they fail. And as adults, we shouldn't either, because it's kind of a full circle. You know, if you have children and they are watching your every move, whether you think they are or they aren't, so you are their role model and you are their moral compass. So what you do, they're going to do. So if they see you constantly giving up on things, why would they try? Why would they attempt those things? So, you know, we have to take responsibility for our own actions and, you know, build our own lives and not be so willing to just, you know, say, well, I couldn't do this because my parents didn't pay for me to go to college, or my parents said I'll never amount to nothing, or my grandma said, nobody in our family ever went to college, so you're not going to go to college. You know, if we all listen to those naysayers and those, I call them the vampire suckers, because, you know, they just suck the life right out of you. And if you allow people to do that, then, you know, truly, how can you have a good self-esteem to move forward? So you kind of have to, you know, push away all those naysayers and try things and attempt them several times because, you know, practice makes perfect.
I understand. So when does one set someone down? After they've had enough of the blame game, oh, you're stopping my life from me getting further in life. Oh, every morning is just a whining experience about, oh, what did you do with my shoes? What did you do with my hairbrush? What did you do with this? What did you do with this? When do you shut that down?
Well, and that's when you turn the ball back into their court and you say, what did you do with it? What are you going to do today? You know, a lot of times as parents, especially with kids, if they're saying, you know, you did this to me or you did that to me, you have to kind of turn it around and say, okay, wait a minute. You are your own person. And you can do this with your spouse, with your best friend. You know, a lot of times people are just so willing to give up or they're so willing to blame. But if you just kind of go back and say, hey, wait a minute. No, what did you do to cause this or to not cause this? What action did you take to make it better? If I did something to you, would you take action against me? Would you sit back and just be willing to blame me? You know, you have to kind of step back and go, hey, wait a minute. No, what did you do? And you have to make people responsible for their own actions. Sometimes it's just a matter of tough love. It's hard to give, and it's hard to get, but sometimes you just got to give it.
I understand. And that's probably a little bit deeper in Chapter 7 right now. We're on Chapter 1, self-esteem. I have a high self-esteem, and I've always had a high self-esteem. People that don't have a high self-esteem, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together. Should we then disassociate ourselves from those individuals who just want to whine and have nothing and will never have anything and go on about your merry way, or should we stay out and hang out in that zone for a little while longer in the hopes that they will get it?
Two answers to that question. You could address it as in hopes that they could get it or in hopes that you could teach them to get it. But you have to remember, if people aren't willing to help themselves, you're going to have a really tough time trying to help them. Now, when it comes to distancing yourself from other people, you know, you don't have to totally close a door, but you can kind of, you know, pull it to and move on with your life in hopes that they may, you know, wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, what happened? And, you know, if I was to stop talking to somebody that I had been talking to but felt that they were just too negative and they were to call me and say, hey, what happened? You stopped calling me, or, you know, what did I do? You know, kind of thing is usually what they'll ask you. You could just say, hey, if we can have an open conversation and you're willing to hear me out, I'll be more than happy to sit with you and we'll discuss, you know, what's going on. Because a lot of times, you know, people are so stuck in that negativity that they don't even realize that they're there until somebody points it out to them.
Probably various ways to point them that out to them. And so,
there is.
Yeah. You either slap the piss out of them, excuse me, or you gently coax them for 6 years and 7 days and go, I'm sorry, we're not going to make it. So which would be the best option, in your opinion, to do this?
Well, I don't think physical violence solves anything. So, you know, if you really feel that a person is just so down on themselves, the only thing I would say is, you know, you should be open and honest and tell them you need to speak with somebody. And probably it's not going to be me, but you need to speak with somebody because your outlook on life isn't pleasant to be around. You know, you can't allow others to bring you down. You know, And actually, only you can allow others to bring you down. Others can't bring you down. You allow them to bring you down. So if you want to live a life of misery, of being around people that suck the life out of you, you know, I wish you a lot of luck. But I can tell you that there is a better life out there for you if you cut those strings and move forward and do what you want to do with your life and build the self-esteem that you want and build the self-confidence that you need to move forward.
I understand that, and that's what we're talking about. Either call Dial a Prayer, Ann Landers, or Michelle Spakanis, because she's putting you on the right path, and that's what we're all about. We're talking about building leadership through self-insight, taking self-actions that matter. So let's get into Chapter 2, Confidence. Confidence is all a part about your day-to-day, as well as being overconfident and underconfident. So let's touch base on confidence. So what does one need to be confident enough to allow people to understand, back off, baby, because I got it going on and you don't?
Well, and I can tell you, lack of confidence can paralyze your life. I mean, it can stop you dead in your tracks. It can keep people from going out outside of their home, outside to networking, outside to parties. Lack of self-confidence, it can hurt you. But your mind and your emotions, those are the tools that are required for developing your self-confidence. And they're always with you. You know, it's mind over matter. Because when you stop to think about being shy, having fear, those kind of things, you have to kind of let those go. And you have to see yourself in a positive light. Because the way you see yourself is the way you'll portray yourself to other people. That's how they will see you, you know. So you have to start thinking positive things about yourself. And, you know, the best way to do that is to take a piece of paper and on the right-hand side, you know, maybe write what you're not good at, and on the left-hand side, write everything that you are good at. And I think you'd be very surprised at the end of the exercise to see how many things you really are good at. And when you see it down on paper, then you'll realize that, you know, maybe I'm not so bad after all, and maybe I do have some things to offer others. And in being positive, you have to believe in yourself. You have to have that self-confidence in order to be able to move forward and to go out and to meet people. And you've got to stop, you know, tearing yourself down. A lot of people will say, oh, well, I can't talk in public because I can't even stand up and talk to people, period. If you throw that out into the universe responds and says, okay, you're right. You can't talk to people and you'll never be a speaker. And, you know, so it's whatever you throw out and you speak out of your mouth, it will actually come back on you. So you want to be very positive and say, I'm very good at, you know, typing, or I'm very good at organizing, and I'm very good at raising children, and I'm very good at teaching. And the more you say the things that you are good at, the more positive things will come your way and the more opportunities that will come your way.
Absolutely. Confidence,
that makes sense?
We all need it. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And so in Chapter 3, we're talking about relationship building. Are we talking about a man and woman? Are we talking about leadership? What are we specifically talking about with relationship building?
Okay, we're talking about relationship building with people, mainly in a leadership setting or a business setting. But, I mean, you can do it even with, you know, your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or even your children. It goes for everybody. There are some steps to developing some really good relationship building techniques. The first one is being able to read people. And what I mean by that is body language. And we've all heard about it. Different types of body language, and that's the unspoken language. You know, things like when you're standing there talking to somebody and you have your arms folded across your chest, they say that you're blocking, you know, that you really don't want to hear what that person has to say. If you're speaking to somebody and they're smiling at you, you know, that's a welcoming gesture that somebody wants to talk to you. If you don't look someone in the eyes while you're speaking to them, that could be interpreted as you being dishonest or that you're hiding something. You know, if you're standing or sitting, but you're blocking someone else, say someone's behind you, that could be interpreted as being rude or thoughtless. If someone's talking to you and you're interested and you're kind of shaking your head along with what they're saying, that's a good thing. You know, you got to worry about your space or your distance between people. Everybody likes their own personal space. Don't get into somebody else's bubble because it won't go well. So, you know, that's how you read people when you're talking to them. The next one is rapport, developing rapport. And what you want to do there is, you know, allow people to speak to you and listen intently, but then ask some questions. You know, be interested. Encourage an open exchange. Encourage other people to share with you. You know, be an active listener. And don't just want to talk and just say your story and how you got there and what you did and you know, your kid, all about your kids and your family and your life and your vacation, and the other person's kind of standing there, and then they're probably blocking you by then because they've crossed their arms and they're rolling their eyes. You know, allow them to speak and listen to them and, you know, share back and forth compliments. The next step would be conflict resolution, and that's a really tough one with a lot of people. You know, conflict is a very normal part of any healthy relationship. You can't expect everybody to agree all the time. You know, right now with all the politics going on, you know, it's not a discussion that most people want to get into because everybody truly does have their opinion, and nobody's opinion is 100% right, even though they think it is. So you want to be real careful with conflict. Allow people to voice what they want to voice. Listen to what is, you know, said, but make sure that you pick your battles. You know, pick and choose, but always be willing to forgive. You know, resolving conflict is virtually impossible if you're not willing or you're not able to forgive someone. And you got to know when to let something go. You know, if you can't come to an agreement, then just agree to disagree. It takes two people to keep an argument going. And most times a conflict goes nowhere. So you can choose to just disengage or move on, you know. And then the next step is support and cooperation. Now, relationships, they might begin with just two people. Eventually, more people become involved. Work friends, associates, family members, all kind of people. They interact every day. So you want to make sure to gain their support and their cooperation in whatever that you're doing right now. If you're trying to set a goal, if you're trying to start a new business. So you want to make sure that you, you know, get all the cooperation you can. Now, to build a trusting relationship through the support and cooperation, you want to honor your promises. Do what you say you're going to do. Make sure to always, you know, speak your feelings. Don't just focus on the facts, but, you know, put in there how you feel about things. And if somebody asks you to keep a secret, keep it. That's the biggest way that you can support somebody and be there other than to just to listen to them. So you just want to make sure that, you know, you use a lot of these techniques that I've talked about, but just make sure that, you know, you're a good listener and that you allow others to express their opinions without getting to a massive debate over it.
Understand. So in essence, would you say, when I start going, what do you think about me? Because it's all about me, 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 me. You know me. Hey, it's me. It's all about me. It's enough about you. It's all about me. So if I say it's all about me a million times, then chances are people's going to go away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to block you, and they're probably going to gossip about you, and that's not going to form any kind of relationship whatsoever. So if you wanted to do business with that particular person, you just lost the chance.
I got you. enough about me. Let's get into stress management because I am stressed, dear. I am so stressed these days. Need a massage, a pedicure, a manicure, anything to relieve my stress. Now, what would be a good way to relieve your stress?
Relax. No, there are, you know, there's a lot of things that causes stress today. And, you know, some things, a divorce. Of course, everybody knows a divorce causes stress. The death of a loved one causes stress. Any kind of illness or a job loss. You know, the economy is so up and down that, you know, people are losing their jobs. So in order to work towards curing your stress or at least relieving a good part of your stress, I recommend that you definitely don't turn to drugs and alcohol. And because, you know, actually those are downers and it can make you even more stressed and more down and more depressed. And then you have a whole nother case to to take care of. So what you want to do is seek help. You want to have somebody to talk to. There's several different types of counselors that you can speak to. Speak to your physician. You know, talk to them and say, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm totally stressed out. There are medications that they can put you on temporarily to help relieve some of the stress, but until you start stress-relieving behaviors like behavior therapy or massage therapy, you know, one of the best ways to relieve stress is through exercise. You know, our diet and our exercise plays a huge role in stress. I went to the doctors recently because, you know, I have a new book coming out, another CD set coming out, and I have a lot going on, and I was feeling a little stressed. And the very first thing he asked me, he said, do you exercise? And oddly enough, I said, no, I don't. But I started exercising, and I tell you, you know, I'm just walking right now, and the more I walk, the better I feel because I can, you know, kind of talk through my own issues and think of new ways to do things, and it's just incredible how much better that I feel because, you know, when you get your heart pumping, it naturally raises the serotonin in your brain, and that puts you in a better mood. So you want to make sure that you get yourself into an exercise routine. You don't have to kill yourself to do it. You know, you can walk several times a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, even if it's only for 10 minutes each time. You're getting out, you know, and out of the house. Now, if you have a lot of rain like we're having right now and you can't get out of the house, you can do stuff inside the house. You can clean your house. You know, we talked about cleaning your house in Ace Your Life and the 411 on life skills. You want to clean your house. That is one of the best stress relievers that there is available. It's better than any pill. It doesn't cost anything. And when you're finished, you have a really clean house. The other ways to reduce stress is there are natural herbal remedies. You have lemon balm, valerian root, chamomile, St. John's wort, and many others, and that kind of leads into aromatherapy. Essential oils, they are awesome. You can get the diffusers with the water and drop a few oils, drops of the oil in there, and it fills your house with a wonderful smell, and it kind of just lets you relax. A nice lavender smell. If you don't have oils, you can burn a lavender candle. Because by burning that candle, that lavender scent, diffusing all throughout your home, lavender is one of the best stress-relieving scents that there is. So there's all these little things that you can do to beat stress. You just have to be willing to try them.
Absolutely. It sounds like a very learning curve here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lawrence King on Book Talk Radio. Your host in the house, and today we're talking to Michelle Fakanis. And she knows what's going on. She's here to help people that need help, and that's why we're talking about her amazing book called Building Leadership Through Self-Insight, Taking Self-Actions That Matter. Let's move on just a bit, Michelle, to goal setting. Okay, here's an example. I'm Joe Blow, and I want to start a business. Let's say, just for purposes of what we're doing, I want to start a jewelry business. So how, then, should I go about setting my goals to where I'm not going to step on my toes and sabotage it before it gets started?
Okay. Well, you want to start small and be realistic and be consistent, okay? And I talk about setting goals through the SMART acronym. It's an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Okay, and what all this means is when we talk about specific, goal has to be as detailed as possible. You want to answer the basic questions of who, what, why, when, where, which, and whatever way you want to do it. And with that said, you want to take a piece of paper, but you first want to close your eyes, and you want to visualize what you think that business is going to look like. Someone, if you walked into the doors of your new business, what would the setup look like? What would the smell of the business be? What kind of customer would you see standing in your store? How would the displays be set up if you were opening a jewelry store? So you want to visualize every little detail. What kind of lighting do you have? What kind of flooring do you have? So you want to visualize every little detail. And then after you visualize that picture in your mind, you want to write it all down and be specific to every little detail as you can be. And then our next step is you want to set up a goal that's measurable. So you want to say in the next 2 months, and then you want to put a date, okay? So if we're August 1st now, we'll say by October 1st, I want to have, I want to have found the store that I need, or at least the area that I'm looking at, okay? Or by October 1st, I want to have the budget piece worked out to know where am I going to get my financing or where am I going to get my money to open this store, okay? And during that two-month period, you're working on that, but you've got to build a business plan. Because any bank that wants, you want to loan you money, you better be able to show them a really good business plan in order to open that business, okay? So we're kind of doing all the little building blocks to get us towards opening our business. So the next part of the acronym is attainable, A for attainable. This is where you determine how to reach that goal. Is it attainable? Will it help you fulfill the overall goal? Now, the more specific a goal is, the more you can find different ways of reaching that target, okay? Do you need to take any business courses to know how to run a business? Do you need, will you need to hire employees? Will you need to pay them or, have benefits for them? All of these are little goals and parts of your plan that you have to start, writing down on your piece of paper. The next is R for realistic. Does the business make logical sense? Okay. Opening a jewelry store, is it realistic to say I could do it in a six-month time period? Or will I need longer? A person has to be willing and especially able to achieve their goal. It still has to be realistic, okay? But it all has to do with the rewards that you receive or the way that the goal moves you forward. If you don't have the skills to reach the goal, then the goal's unrealistic. And no amount of motivation, can get you to do what you just can't do. And then we move to time-bound. And this is the most important of all. We talked earlier about, setting a time limit on our goal to reach a short-term goal or a medium-term goal or a long-term goal. A goal has to have a deadline. Because if you don't have a deadline, it'll just let your goal slide from one day to the next. And so, you know, for example, if you set a weight loss goal, you know, okay, it's August 1st, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds by September 1st, okay? So you have set a four-week goal to lose 10 pounds. So how? What steps are you going to take to lose that weight? So if we're specific, we know we want to lose the 10 pounds, so that's being specific. Measurable, if at the end of the 30 days, if I haven't lost 10 pounds, the measuring, it definitely wasn't measurable. Is it attainable? Can people lose 10 pounds in a month? Absolutely. Is it realistic? Can people lose 10 pounds in a month? Absolutely. Can you lose 10 pounds in a month? Is it realistic to you? Because are you willing to put forth the effort and to do whatever it takes to do to attain that goal?
Mm-hmm. Words of wisdom, for sure. Time management in chapter 6. You know, time is important. Mm-hmm. Time is majorly important and is of essence in any business and or relationship, especially when you're getting older, because you might not make it to the next day. So let's get down to the brass tacks and hearts of the matter of time management in business and otherwise. Give us some concrete pointers on how we can manage our time wisely.
Absolutely. And, you know, time management, it is so crucial. It is so crucial because everybody wants to, you know, read all their self-improvement books and put them into action, and they still have to work for a living and they still have children to raise. And, you know, may I say, as far as time management goes, the best gift that you can give your child is your time. So you must have good time management skills. Now, some tips to better manage your time: get a grip on email. You know, try checking your email just 3 times a day. And train those around you to eliminate unnecessary emails and avoid reply to all. You know, a lot of people, the very first thing they do, they're so technology addicted that the first thing they do in the morning is they get up and they check their emails. And if you plan time on your calendar to check emails, okay, I'm going to check emails from 9 to 10. And I understand that, you know, some emails are more important than others. And, you know, you have to delegate which ones are important, which ones aren't. But we all get a lot of junk emails. So if you see their junk, automatically just delete them. Get them out of the pile and keep moving on. If you're in a business or you work for somebody else, you want to limit the amount of meetings. You know, hold meetings only when they're necessary and keep them brief. Just because you say you're going to have a meeting from 10 to 11 doesn't mean you have to be there and keep everybody there until 11 o'clock if you've solved the problem in 15 minutes. Use technology. Now, there are a lot of apps out there that help you to do everything faster, like scanning your receipts, sharing contact information, or even just taking notes on your phone or your tablet or whatever it is that you use. You know, use some of those time-saving apps and delegate. Trying to do everything yourself is a huge time waster. You know, enlist others to help you. In my life skills book and in my step parenting book and in my 411 on surviving teenhood book, enlist others around you to help you with household chores, with outside chores, with, you know, easy things that the kids can do to organize stuff. Teach them young, and that will free up time to spend with family time. You know, Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers of the United States, he had 12 time management habits. And it's funny because many people, they just live by those 12 habits. But there were 3 things that he did for changing his habits and managing his time that were so important. He started out committed to every new behavior. He worked only on one habit at a time. And he put in place visual reminders. So that is so important, to work on only one change at a time. You know, if you're working on your self-esteem and your confidence and your stress management and your time management and trying to build relationships all at one time, it can be very overwhelming. So let's try and focus on certain areas at a given time. You know, and that's not to say you could maybe, you know, do a little reading on self-esteem in the morning and then in the afternoon do a little reading on time management or practice your time management skills. But I encourage everyone to take a calendar and write in time, even time with family. Mark your calendars to say, this is when I'm having dinner, either with my family, with my friends, and then move on. This is when I really have a favorite program that I'm going to watch, and write that down on your calendar. Because if you get used to this habit of penciling in everything on your calendar, you're going to see where your time goes. You know, keep track of your time for, you know, 3 or 4 days or at least 1 week. I challenge everybody, keep track of your time on a calendar, everything you did for 1 week. And then I want you to go back and I want you to look where your time was spent. And they say that where you spend your time, that's what your priority is. So if you're spending your time not doing things that will better you or your family or your job or your life, then maybe you need to make a few changes.
Absolutely. I have a favorite quote that I always tell my sisters, my family, my friends, and it goes something like this. What you care about, you spend time with, even if it's your goldfish. Because like you said, truer words were never spoken. What you do spend time with, you in fact care about.
Absolutely.
So speaking of time management, my dear, time is slipping away on us. And before we get in deeper into this book, I've noticed, and I knew the whole time, that you have your own publishing company. So here's another bonus possibly for anyone and everyone. If someone wants to write a book, can they contact you to get their stuff published through your company?
Well, I have not started that branch of the publishing company yet. I've been thinking about it. Mostly, I self-publish my own books, but I will do consultations for folks that are considering, publishing a book to kind of discuss what would be the best route for them to take.
I understand. So it can be something to be considered in the immediate to near future.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So problem solving in Chapter 7. Chapter 7, problem solving. That's a big one. So help us out here to learn about some problem solving.
Okay. Actually, you know, I love problem solving because I just loved math growing up. But, you know, the art of problem solving is something that we do learn at a very young age. And it helps us all through life. And it's truly something that we can't live without. So, you know, it is a life skill. And it's very important and should be taken seriously. So when we think about problem solving, you have to be able to solve problems because, let's face it, they pop up in everyday life. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're large, and sometimes they're a matter of life and death. You know, so regardless of what type they are, it is something that you have to do. So when we talk about, you know, how are we going to solve problems, the first thing to do is to be flexible. You know, you have to get out of your comfort zone, and you have to just avoid the immediate urge to do the same things you've done over and over again when you face problems, because you have to try something different. You know, you'll never know how great a solution may be if you don't try it. If you've had problems in the past and they keep creeping up on you, you need to find a different way to solve them. Okay? You want to take time to think. You got to kind of step back from the situation and kind of look at it before even acting. Brainstorm on it. Pick a friend, pick a family member, and just brainstorm and say, hey, you know, what do you think the options would be to fix this? You want to ask questions. You know, part of problem solving is to create great questions to answer. And a lot of people think, well, you know, that kind of sounds kind of silly. But a lot of times the more questions that we ask, the deeper that we go, because it brings up more questions. And it makes for problem solving a lot easier because you get a lot more input that way. You can look at a problem in a different way. You don't want to approach a problem the way that you normally did in the past, because that problem keeps coming back. So again, we want to try different solutions. Now, there are other ways as far as the different types of skills that you need to solve problems. You want to use some creative thinking, okay? You can't just stick to the obvious, like we said before, because you really want to try and get out of the box. You don't have to be an artist. You just have to be able to think differently in order to be a creative thinker. You want to try reasoning. You know, reasoning, a lot of times, it's pretty handy because it's kind of help you to weed out the bad ideas from the good ideas. You have to have that positive attitude. You know, I'm all about trying to keep a positive attitude, because the more positive you are in the way you approach a problem, it'll give you the incentive to keep trying to solve that problem. If you have a negative attitude towards a problem, it's only going to make the problem bigger. So you really want to try and think positive and believe in yourself and tell yourself, I will find a solution to this problem. When we talk about problems, though, you know, I want everybody to understand that when you have a problem, I want you to ask yourself, will this bother me or still be a problem a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, or 5 years from now? If the answer to that is no, move on. Don't get stuck in that cycle and stay there and stay there and stay there if it's not anything that's really going to affect you in the long run. You know, we get so caught up in things going on right now, and they bog us down. Now, if it is a problem that's going to affect you still a week from now, a month, a year, or 5 years, then we need to find a solution, and we need to find it quickly and move on. Because life is too short to be stuck in problems all the time. And you can't avoid them. You know, they're part of everyday life.
Yes, you can't avoid them. So would you say it's better to prepare to not have a problem pop up in the first place, or react to a problem once it comes about?
Well, honestly, no matter how well you think you're prepared, someone or something is going to pop up to annoy you. But don't pass it on to others. Think about the different ways of, you know, being flexible or asking questions and taking time to, you know, to look at it. And then decide, I really need to find a solution for this because it keeps popping up. And be done with it. You know, if you think you can, you know, go through life without problems, I want your secret. Because there is no way to go through life without problems. We all are faced with problems. It's how we deal with it that matters.
Exactly. So let's take a hypothetical problem. Let's go out in left field here and talk about a relationship that's been together for, let's say, 2 years. And all the woman ever is on her back, okay, and doesn't want to do anything. And the man would say, if this continues, I won't need you as my cook and or housekeeper. I can hire both of these, and you need to leave. Was that, in fact, the way to solve that problem after 2 years, making this person realize that they're not doing anything for this relationship, and or would you approach it differently?
Personally, I would approach it differently. Someone who usually says something in that manner is saying it in the heat of the moment, and they've been so frustrated and so angry up until that point that it finally just comes out. I would not have allowed it to go 2 years. If, you know, even after 6 months of somebody not helping out and putting effort into a relationship, then obviously they don't value that relationship that much. Or you need to sit and say, hey, let's talk about our relationship now. You know, we're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be working together, but it seems that, you know, I'm working and you're vacationing. So what's going on here? You know, I think it best to talk through things and to ask questions. Always ask questions. You know, it never hurts to ask a question. Worst comes to worst, they're just not going to answer you. But, you know, when it comes to relationships and relationship building, the one question that you can honestly ask yourself and be true to yourself about is, can I live without this person? And I think that is, you know, that's a very strong question when it comes to relationships and friendships, even business partnerships. Can I live without this person? And if your answer right away is, yep, sure can, then you need to take the steps to either get counseling. If you think there's even a slight chance to, you know, keep the relationship together, or you need to just cut your ties and move on. Because, again, we only go through this life one time, and why go through it miserable? You know, a relationship takes two, and you each must be willing to put forth 80%, not 50-50. You have to go above and beyond to make any type of relationship work. You have to put 80% in, and the other person has to put 80% in. And there has to be open communication, and there has to be trust. And if you don't have that, again, ask yourself, can I live without this person? And depending on your answer, will be the direction that you'll take.
So that would be coming into Chapter 8, an affirmation. And a visualization of, yes, I can live without this person, so see ya, don't want to be ya.
Well, and absolutely, you know, but when I talk about affirmations and visualizations, I'd like for you to use them in a positive manner, which to some people, maybe that is a positive manner. But what I'm talking about with affirmations and visualizations, if you see something, you can clearly visualize. Remember we talked about the jewelry store. When we clearly visualize what we want, okay, and we put in, we start saying affirmations, which is little things that you repeat to help you achieve the goal or the success that you want, and or even the self-esteem or the self-confidence. You tell yourself every day, I am a good person. I am loved. I am a remarkable woman, and, you know, people love me. Those are affirmations. I will have a jewelry store that people will love, and you tell yourself that every day. You can post little post-it notes everywhere on your refrigerator. Say, you know, when we talked about losing weight, I am healthy, and I will lose 10 pounds by September 1st. And you post that everywhere, and you read that every day, and that goes into your mind, and you see it, and you're saying it, and it will happen, because you're building that self-insight, and it's showing you, hey, you can do this. So, you know, I want people to visualize what they want. It's very powerful. You know, the more you visualize, the more that you'll be able to see things clearer, and the more you'll be able to set your goals and make your plans for your life easier. You know, most people don't even recognize that naturally we all develop to certain levels. And if you want to develop beyond that level, then you have to change your behavior, and you have to start visualizing what you want and saying out loud what you want, and do that every single day. You know, affirmations, they're acknowledgments of your inner self, and they give you the inspiration to move forward. So visualizations, we've talked about, they're mental images that we conjure up in our mind, and it gives us a clear picture of what we're thinking and what others are saying to us. So we all always want to make sure that our visualizations are very, very clear. And the more you relax, the more your mind is able to visualize what you want so that you can, you know, start saying, this is what I want and this is what I'm going to have, and talk about as if you've already achieved it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So would you say, here's an example of an affirmation. And so allow me to understand if this is a good one or not so good one. I am broke. I need money. I'm going to get it without doing anything illegal, unethical, or immoral. And now I'm going to start my jewelry business because I am broke and I need money, and that's going to happen. And so unless the lightning bolts are striking around me in different ways going, here's your sign, don't be doing that because it's not going to work out anyway, is that a good affirmation?
That's not a good affirmation. You have to tell yourself you already have what you want. You have to say, I have more than enough. I have the money I need to start my jewelry store. Because the more you tell yourself that you have everything you need to move forward, you're going to take those steps and move forward. You have to be positive, and you have to act as if you already have it. That's the key to success in life. You have to act as if. Because the more you believe, the more good things will come to you.
Absolutely. If I can see it, I can be it.
Absolutely.
And with that said, we're about at the 250 mark. Michelle, so do us a favor and tell our listening audience where they can get your books and everything that you're all about.
Okay. Well, my books are available at my website, which is my411books.com. You can also purchase my books at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any other online book retailer. You can also visit my website, takeactionwithmichelle.com, for any coaching, speaking, or training needs. And, you know, I'm here to help. I'd love to coach you. I'd love to help you. If you're just looking for a consultation on a book that you're thinking about, I'd love to hear from you. Through my website, you can contact me, and I'll be happy to help you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And with that said, let's talk a little bit about the conclusion. The conclusion in your amazing book called Building Leadership Through Self-Insight, Taking Self-Actions That Matter, by Michelle Fakanis. So tell us about the conclusion, dear. Everything is good when you have a conclusion.
Absolutely. Well, just to kind of pull it all together, you know, when it comes to trying to find the answers inside of you, you really have to be willing to dig deep into your soul and to your mind to find the answers you're looking for. You know, we all have the answers inside of us, and sometimes it just takes a friend, a family member, or even a personal coach to bring them out. You know, we have the answers inside of us. So when it comes to trying to find yourself, it could be a great trip. Take a trip. You can do it just from your living room, you know, or you can go to your local library, or you can search on the internet. Just, you know, take that trip and think about, what is it I want out of this life? What are things that will challenge me? You know, stop being the status quo and get out there and make a great life for yourself. Because if you don't make life happen, who will? If you don't love you, nobody, you know, how do you expect other people to love you? If you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect other people to believe in you? You know, you have to be willing to take action to move yourself into a new way of life and a better future. And I really want that for everybody that's listening. You know, you can do it. And you need to be positive. Stay positive. And just know that the more you throw it out there, that in the present tense of I already have it, the more that you're going to get out of this life.
Absolutely. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michelle Spokanis and Lawrence J. King talking about her book, Building Leadership Through Self-Insight, Taking Self-Actions That Matter. And on that note, the dog is howling and it's dinner time somewhere in USA. Michelle, it was good talking to you again. I'll be talking to you again next week. Tune in next week at the same time for the exciting interview again with Michelle Spokanis. Have a good evening, dear. Thank you for coming along today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, your host of Book Talk Radio, having an exquisite interview with Michelle Spokanis. She knows. She's giving you answers. She's helping you. And so I appreciate you tuning in again today. And once again, have a good week. Stay positive. Stay motivated. Achieve your goals. And tune in next time when you hear Book Talk Radio. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.